First of all, when Professor Weber asked me to talk about competition or collaboration, I thought actually what this is about now, you know, competition, collaboration, it's about war, collaboration, competition, I didn't know what exactly to say. And in the end, always collaboration seems a nice thing. Why should we bother arguing against it? And then I started thinking everything has its pros and cons. And if you ask about collaboration, what it actually means that first of all, you both parties recognize each other. The second is that they recognize that they have different and defined roles. They understand, both of them, that these different roles cannot be accomplished only by one part. And this way, they offer unity within the profession, but also that means that both of them, they have to compromise. And compromise is not the easiest thing. On the other hand, if you compete, then certainly there's a split within the profession, but every part has to play possibly contradicting roles, and we'll speak about this a bit later. But there's no need for compromise. Bureaucracy is limited, and things possibly can move forward much faster than if you go through the collaboration. I've thought very, very hardly about all these things, and my impression is that collaboration is the only way forward. But collaboration is not an easy thing. And I think the main problem that we have to talk about is that if we want to collaborate, then we have to think how this can be achieved. And the first step, if you go for a collaboration, for example, the European Scientific Societies and the UEMS specialty sections, then they have to understand they are two independent entities. And the leaderships of these two entities should understand this reality and proceed, first of all, into mutual recognition and then to start talking in terms of equality and partnership. And this is very important. So we have to understand that we are equal and we have to go further to a partnership. But when you enter into these talks, you have to know what your strengths and your defaults are. And the advantages of the scientific societies is that they have a huge financial strength. They are much more well recognized within the profession, although possibly as a specialty section, we don't like that. And this is because they have many active members. The active members I heard for the whole UMS is 1,000. I suspect that the active members of the European Society of Cardiology is more than 1,000. And also they have disadvantages, the scientific societies. Their big disadvantage is that what Professor Weber mentioned just before, that because they have lots of money, and this money is through financial ties with industry, they have less moral strength. And possibly, although this can be debated, and we've seen that in the slides of Professor Weber, they are less recognized as representatives of the profession by the European and national governmental bodies. But this is something which is not always this way, although we would like a specialty section to think like this. Now, if you think of the UEMS specialty sections, the big advantage is exactly the opposite, what the disadvantage is of the scientific societies, that we have moral strength because we don't have any financial ties. And we think that we are better recognized as by the European governmental bodies because we bear, and this is something that is not that is altogether obvious, but we have to advertise that, because we bear the consensus of the whole profession, what Professor Ronald said about teamwork. But also we have disadvantages, and the disadvantage is that we don't have any money. were not very well recognized within the profession, and this is the way that we are structured. You take two members of two are the representatives of for each country for every specialty section. And also the medical profession, we like it or not, understands more the need of the specialties than the need of the whole medical profession. That's how we know, that's what we know. Radiologists understand what the needs of radiology are. Cardiologists understand what the needs of cardiology are. And although, you would like to think that, okay, we have to be all together and it's a multidisciplinary approach, still we're struggling to that. And it's not an obvious thing. Now, weighing the advantages and the disadvantages, the scientific societies, when we enter into discussions, are the strong partner due to their financial strength, the number of active members, and the way that they are recognized by their specialty and the profession. However, the specialist sections are not armless altogether. They have the moral strength, but they need to become stronger, and they have to become stronger. So, collaboration. The strength now of the collaboration, however, is something that is of great importance for medical profession per se. It's not for the specialty section, it's not for the scientific societies, it's not for people, individual persons, it's for the medical profession. And in order to have collaboration, and if you have two unequal partners to go into discussion, the one, the weak one, is going to be wiped out. So we need to strengthen the specialty sections in order to achieve such a collaboration. And then the question which arises, how this strength should be achieved. First of all, we have to find ways to increase our financial capacity without being tied up within the industry. And there are such certain ways of doing so that exist. We have to be better recognized by the profession. We need to increase the number of active members, especially for specialty sections. And because the structures of the UMS are such that there are 31, 62 people there in the board of the board, and this is it. Then all the active parts of the beginning of the sections, because this is the backbone of UMS, have to increase the active numbers. But in order to increase the active numbers, you have to give them roles and which are well defined, and you need possibly some certain amount of money, not a lot, in order these people to have a secretarial support, to move around, to talk, to discuss. And the UMS specialty sections have to become more active in the way that the UMS works. Their voice should be more sound. And UMS has to retain its federalistic mentality if it's not in order and not to move forward a centralized model. If they lose their federalistic mentality, then we'll be out of the game. And we have to deal more actively with the matters of the specialty than the medical profession in general. So let's start now to prepare for the talks. So we need to have such a collaboration. We need to understand the advantages, summary, and disadvantages. We need to strengthen the specialist sections so they will become equal partners with the societies, which from the first glance appear to be stronger, mainly due to financial strength and number of involved members. The second step, if we are engaged to this talks, is to define the roles. And if we look at what the scientific societies are meant to do, is to provide scientific and educational activities, like and also produce and update clinical practice guidelines, organize educational course and initiatives, organize pan-European surveys on specific disease areas, organize congresses, subspecialty congresses, publish leading journals in the different specialties. So in summary, their role is to organize the education, which means the context of education, the educational material, and the educational events, and to guide the profession in regards to the clinical practice. So if we think of what they are, indeed, they are providers. That's what the medical societies are. And even if we didn't have accreditors, we had to invent them, because it's a contradicting role to be provider and a provider and accreditor at the same time. So if you go to the specialist section, then the specialist section objectives is to promote harmonization of training of the specialists, to promote free movement, to represent the professor to the European Union authorities, to defend the professional interests. And in order to achieve these objectives, we need to set up training requirements. For example, in cardiology, we have already set up the European Diploma of Cardiology, to set up a system of accreditation of continuing medical education, and also to develop any other activity which would be considered necessary. So the role of the scientific societies, in summary, is to set up the rules of education, how it should be organized, to accredit, to set up criteria of accreditation, like the ones that you mentioned before, and to do the accreditation per se, and also to become the preferred bodies for negotiation with the politician, although work needs to be done there, because we represent through UMS the profession as a total. So the consensus which we go there and present has been achieved within the profession and hasn't been imposed by third parties, for example, the society or other governmental bodies. And also because we do have the moral strength, as we are not tied up with industry, which the medical profession is obliged to have, in order the contract between society and medicine, which allows medicine to be self-regulated, to be still in place. So the specialist sections are the accreditors. And let us speak now on a specific example. We followed these rules, the ones that you mentioned before, and we went into discussions with the European Society of Cardiology as the UMS cardiac section, and we agreed with them. And this is the example. We defined our roles. European Society of Cardiology, according to our agreement, provides scientific and educational activities, clinical practice guidelines, educational courses and material, like the European Society of Cardiology Congress, the subspecialty Congress, etc., pan-European surveys on specific disease areas and medical practice. However, the UMS cardiac sections sets the rules of training requirement for cardiology. And this is based upon the context, which is the core curriculum, which has been set up by the European Society of Cardiology, but it's based upon the training, the infrastructure, and the assessment, which is done by the UMS, and the educational material, which is by the European Society of Cardiology. And also the European Society of the UMS cardiac section, through IBAC, accredits every single continuing medical education and professional development and postgraduate training in Europe, according to the established ways. And also we have to develop, to have new methods, initiatives, like the ones that you mentioned before. And we are the ones that we know which are the initiatives which the profession of the specialty needs to be taken, and this, and also to provide accreditation to meeting, courses, seminars, etc. And jointly, we form exams, which is only part of the European Diploma of Cardiology. It's only one part. The diploma is not just exams. It's all the whole setup of training, so we have in conjunction the UEMS set up exams. And also we have defined roles according to the electronic platforms that people use. European Society of Cardiology has its own platform, which is only an educational platform. UEMS cardiac section has its own platform, Eucardia, which is only for administrative reasons, for handling the requirements of the European Diploma of Cardiology, possibly for other specialties if they find it interesting, or also for individuals who need handling of their personal curricula. And both bodies, both UEMS and scientific societies, have relationship with the national societies, because in part, for both of us, this is part of our constituent bodies. And this has to be, we have to be able to communicate with the national societies according to our defined and complementary roles. And both bodies, we agreed to support these relationships of the one and the other party with the national societies. And in the spirit of good collaboration and not to create confusion between the national societies, the communication will be mentioned in the communication both the UEMS and the European Society of Cardiology, and also will mention to them what our defined roles are. And further to that, because as we said, collaboration needs some sort of organization. It's not something which stops, but needs to further improve. We formed a body which will be able to create, to be the link between these two organizations. And finally, this agreement has been announced and published and to every which was relative to that. And now is in place. Thank you very much.